9 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Well, right now, Ross Lyon, coach of the Dockers, is the most talked about person in the game. And he's going to join us in about 3 minutes. Tom Morris has all the news from Steve Hocking's press conference today. And Richo's in the house. Great to have Richo with us. He's here for McDonald's Macca's 24 Chicken McNuggets for $9.95. And you can jump on the line anytime you like if you'd like to join us on the Harcourts open line, 13 13 32. For all things real estate, speak to Harcourts. But for all things sport, give us a call. You're spot on. Ross Lyon's about 30 seconds away. And plenty to talk to Ross about. Not that he's enjoyed talking about some of the stuff that people have wanted to talk to Ross about recently. Well, welcome to you, Richo. Great to have you here.
Great to be here, Dwayne and Jared. And I was having a look at Twitter just quickly to see what the news was on the way in here, and Ross Lyon was trending, so it's a good time to have Ross on the show, obviously.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to be trending a bit more very shortly. Richo, it's been an interesting week in football about Ross's future or potential future over in the West, and certainly there's plenty of guns over there pointing at his direction.
Yeah, and I find it a little bit bemusing because I don't think Ross could have been any more categoric. I think it was last week or the week before at a presser when he said, he's definitely staying, he's contracted, he's loving the job, the team's improving, he's got a young group. So I don't know how many more times he needs to say that until people stop asking
questions.
Well,
I think if they'd have all been on the one page, that would have been fine. But I think it was either Steve Rossage or their chairman opened it up and said, well, we won't be doing anything until the end of the year, et cetera. And that basically put it back on the agenda.
And that's one thing you've got to have at a footy club. You need, if you want to be successful, you need every part of your club to be linear and going on the same line, so I'm sure Ross would hope that's the case at Fremantle.
Let's go straight to the man himself. He's been good enough to join us on Sports Day, Fremantle coach Ross Lyon. Welcome to the program, Ross. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thank you. Great to be on, I think.
There does seem to be this weird undercurrent happening over there. You have everything you've said has been the right thing to say you're staying at the club long term, and you have talked about the fact that there is this noise bubbling up. Is it from outside, or is there some bubbling up from inside talking about the fact that Fremantle and Ross Lyon should maybe part company?
Well, I'm not too sure, really. I think, there's some frustration in Perth amongst the rebuild, but I think for the majority of the year we've been really good, and then we lost really our key tall forwards and our key back and lob our ruckman, and we tailed off in performance, and we had a horrible derby. So I think when we were going well and clubs in Melbourne were struggling, that I'd had a connection to, I think I had the Barramundi bowl and a cart with Stephen Silvani. It all started, but I was categoric at the Hall of Fame and said, enjoy my time, fully committed. And then on the other side of the coin, when we went a little bit south in performance, it turned really quickly here, and the frustration and the local media suggesting that we should part ways. And potentially there's that's then opened the door up for speculation. So 1 minute's about I'm going to leave, and the next minute's about I'm going to get the boot. So it's a little bit confusing, but I have enjoyed the work and the play group and Nat Fyfe as a leader. So I'm trying not to get caught up in it, but when you can continually get asked, it's bemusing, but it can be a little bit frustrating at the same time.
Ross, and I think a lot of speculation comes around because you've got a contract next year and it's not going to be extended at this stage. Why it has to be, I'm not sure. The media seem to want to ask that question. The question is Ross Lyon even looking at coaching beyond 2020?
Well, look, I address that in the media today because there's a lot of assumptions being made. But I look at my time at St Kilda. I signed a three-year deal, 07. We missed the finals, 08 prelim, but got annihilated by Hawthorne. And I went into 09. Coming out of contract, and there was none of this noise around being extended. And look, we made the grand final and got extended. So, and I think while there was other coaches available, potentially, like Longmire and those sort of guys, as they've been extended, and then probably points the finger at over here. So, personally, I just said there's a lot of assumptions being made. You don't enter into league AFL coaching not being the full bottle, and that you're in an environment that you want to be in and that you're fully committed. So I've certainly committed to my term. I'm working really hard. But, at any club, or you've got to decide, first of all, are you looking for an extension? Do you want to continue to coach? Because it's a high scrutiny, high funnily enough, high demand jobs. So that's what I was really saying today. Like, it's not a fait accompli that you just roll on. It's a privileged position.
Yeah.
And you really got to be prepared, as you know, and as an AFL player, it's high performance, high demand. It doesn't matter where you are in the game, that you're fully committed. And you can't necessarily answer that as we sit here today, what it's going to look like October 2020. So that's really what I was pointing out. Because I've got three young kids that are immersed in school. There's a lot of variables and considerations to be undertaken.
Ross, I know as an older player later on in my career, I loved having a one-year contract because it sort of kept you hungry. You didn't know what you were going to get each year. You didn't know where you were at the year after. And I found that it actually made you hungry to be out of contract at the end of a season.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, I'm not sure where the precedents come from that coaches coming out of contract need to be extended. But for whatever reasons, a lot of pressure is put on clubs, but there's not much substance to it. So, yeah, I think for players and coaches, it's good to be hungry. It's good to be in the jungle and get up every day and have to fight for your survival. And I've always welcomed that, you know.
What about an interesting environment, Ross? Had the one-point victory been a one-point loss?
Yeah, well, I think it would have been, the rhetoric would have been strong. There's no doubt about that. But it's fingernail deep analysis. It's tomorrow's fish and chip paper, and I can only control my commitment and my coaching. And really, at 7-5, we could have easily been 10-2. We're not a deep list. We lost Hogan, Tabernard, Cox. We lost Lobb, our ruck, who's having career best form, then Alex Pearson. Stephen Hill hasn't been there all year. Every team's got them, but I think we were rated, you know, a young developing list, so without being too fine on it. So we've been thrilled with their improvement, but our season's still alive. I like the term. I think Chris Scott used it out of America, any given Sunday. It does feel like that. If you're not at your best or optimum effort, teams are going to get over top of you, which is great for the competition, and it gives great hope to everyone trying to build.
Ross, Jared and I talked about it a bit, that this speculation or the theory that you're a defensive coach, and yet when you've got the tools to attack, you seem to do play an attacking style. Is it about the tools that you've got and what is right for the game at the time? Because it does seem as if you take the game on in many of the games that we watch, and yet people don't necessarily divert back to that when they assess Ross Lyon's year overall. They like to talk about the low-scoring games where you did go defensive.
Yeah, look, we felt we had a system and a structure. We scored 100 points about three or four times interstate against GWS, certainly I think it was against Port Adelaide. And we're playing a game with penetration, and I feel I've never coached offense better in our system, and it's never been harder to score in the AFL. But look, I understand that. But everyone just ignores the facts. 2009, we kicked 100 points more than Geelong did for the times for the year. I think we averaged 99 points. So, but there's been times we've been low scoring, and I understand that criticism. So, look, I'm happy to wear it. It's about competing, and it's hard. Everyone wants to score, but teams go from 100 points to 65. So the system doesn't change, but the inputs do, and the talent, you know, the competency. I mean, Alistair Clarkson is the greatest attacking coach in the history of the game, but I don't think they've cracked 100 points this year until the weekend. So your system can be the same, but, you know, the talent that's being plugged in is different. So I think we're naive to suggest that that doesn't count at all.
Interesting press conference from Steve Hocking. Would appear as if pre-season is going to be streamlined, which generally means less time for players at footy clubs. I'm interested in your thoughts on sports science. One thing I do know about sports science, Ross, is it's amazing how some things that were absolutely fact 5 years later are actually fiction. We've gone from cold bars to hot bars all of a sudden after, I guess, decrying hot bars for a fair period of time. And I just wonder or not we're going to see a swing in the amount of time players are on the training track. I've spoken to a few young guys in recent times, and I'm almost staggered at how little they train. We're asking them to run 15, 16 Ks, and yet they're only doing 4 or 5 or 6 Ks during the week to get better. The question is, how do they get better if they're not on the track?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting debate, and our sports science guys are really strong and prepare them really well. But I think it is swinging back to more of a football focus. I think Geelong said they train for longer over summer and more competition. international sports, like if we say soccer, they train every day. But the argument is that there's more talent and more numbers and they can just replace them. So we don't want them to rust out. We prefer them to wear out. And as always, there's swings and roundabouts.
You're quite Neil Young now.
I don't know who I'm quoting after talking. But, I think it's going to swing back. And players will take a risk to do above what's prescribed to get a competitive edge. And there's probably a point where there was overtraining and OP, but there's an argument to be made that, you know, there's too much going into the conditioning and recovery without working on your craft and trying to get a competitive edge. So I think it's swinging back a little bit. And as more players come through, I think, and the competition is so fierce, people will start to look for that competitive advantage like they did in the 90s and early 2000s, I think.
And while I'm talking quotes, more froth than Theranos today you threw out there. Can you, for those people who don't know the Theranos story, can you put it in a nutshell for us?
Theranos, the pinprick blood test, the test for all human disease, it was actually a great marketing exercise. I think the Murdoch family fell in for $200 million, so they did a pretty good job. I don't think News Limited have run. I think Fairfax ran with it today, that quote. Right. But I just said.
Did you have that ready to go? Did you have that ready to go, or did you just think of that? That just pop into your head?
No, I watched the documentary, and then as it kept building, I just made a mental link. I thought half the population would get it and half wouldn't, so that was the humour in that.
I think Dwayne's jealous he didn't get it out early.
I might give it a run in the Fremantle game I do next in his commentary.
Nat Fyfe, Ross, I made the case on the couch a couple of weeks ago about him playing a little bit more inside the forward half, a bit like a 70-30 Dustin Martin. And given that you had so much ball inside forward 50 on the weekend, there is life after Nat Fyfe, even though Lachie Neale's not there.
Yeah, 100%. And really, over the term of the year, if you looked at his heat map, His percentages, it used to be like maybe 60-40 defence, but there was a lot more. I think it went to like a few games there was centre forward 70-30. So we've set it up more like that. And in the Hawthorn game, he turned the game around. So even this week, we'll consider him a lot more forward. Yeah, so look, it's a really important, getting their hunting territory where they can have the most impact, and because he can cover so much ground. But he's enjoyed pushing forward, and he does, even today, it's not about playing more forward, but he's like, I want to be in the midfield. So it's trying to strike that balance. It was great that the two games he hasn't played with, the first derby, we had a real opportunity. And I think St Kilda got knocked out. We stood up. So, yeah, everyone took on the responsibility. I'd love to play him a full game there and just see what can happen. You know, maybe this is the week. You know.
Rossi, it's a good time to be a ruckman. There's plenty of good ones in the comp, and you need a good one to compete. You played three last week, which I don't reckon's been done for a long, long time, and you had a win. Are you going to throw it up again at the Doggies this week?
Yeah, we're really confident Rory Love will play. Sean Darcy, you know, 17 disposals, lots of hit-outs, two shots on goals, and Aaron wants to play. So, look, the dry stadium, we did it on the wet and big ground, so Aaron's really keen to play. Yeah, it's more than likely. I have to get to match committee. I just walked out now. But, I liked it. Because we lost all those talls, we'd stop going in. So if you don't go in, you can't score. So we'd rather, even if we lose, we'd rather lose the right way, playing the right way. So we just felt we'd got a bit short and we needed some targets. So, yeah, the Doggies have got great mobility. You know, when they're hot, they're red hot, and they run Johannesson and Caleb Daniel and those guys out of the back, Easton Wood is strong. So, but if we can challenge him in the air, it's something we could look at.
I know Anthony Rock and Michael Pryor are desperate to get you back into match committee, so we won't keep you much longer. But I'm interested in the issue of match committee because I think for some it's very much everybody has a crack. Are you a match committee leader that walks in and says, there's my side, and argue against it, or are you, let's start from square one again? How does it work at the Dockers?
Yeah, good point. I learned early if I could suppress people if I put my stuff on, I can be a bit dogmatic. So it's really went down the path of the guys putting their teams up, but it's very much a collaborative approach and not adversarial. And then
Yep.
Often, because we know you so often, we'll play around with it before the match comes in and we'll all have a good feel. And you're probably debating three or four positional moves and the tactics more than anything. But we try and collaborate. But when you're stuck, you've got to go to a bit of a vote. And I always engage like Peter Bell and Mark McCarthy, if our list manager sits in there, we always value everyone's opinion. So a collaborative approach, but there might be one decision where I go, I'm not, I don't care if it's 6-1, I'm not budging, but generally it's collaboration.
Interesting that it is collaboration. Everyone had a say on the ruckman, but you would have got the blame had you lost with a three ruckman call.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know what, and the buck stops. I think we get danger money as a senior AFL coach to take the scrutiny, and it's got to stop somewhere. Someone's got to be accountable. And look, you can't hide in this game. I talk to the players, you can't sneak around and become a successful. You've got to take the contest on. And I think that's a big thing when senior coaches get in the chair. It's a big difference. Because I remember Tony Alshaw was a great influence on me. I was a young coach at St Kilda, and I said, oh, what do we do with the spare? And he said, oh, we'll do this. And then he walked out of the room. This is pre-game. And he walked back in. Or you could do this. And I said, oh, mate, you're driving me crazy. He said, well, you're the senior coach. Make a decision. I'm just here to make suggestions. So that probably sums it up. Like, you've got to make your final decisions and be held accountable. But that's the gig. It takes you to places grown men should never go. But there's a deep satisfaction in when you see a team compete fiercely and win or give their best.
Ross, before we let you go, I was having a Palmer and a pot at the Napier Hotel in Fitzroy a few Fridays ago, and I turned my head, and the 1986 Fitzroy team poster was on the wall, and I was looking straight at you, and then I looked through the team. That was a damn good team, that 86 Fitzroy team.
Yeah, well, actually, they finished third in a prelim that year. I think, I forget they got it smacked by someone, but yeah, some old mates there, still got some good friends there. You know, Butchie Gale's a good mate of mine, and you know, there's some good. Roosie was in there, and Gary Pert and Osborne and all those sort of guys. Matty Rendell and Scotty Clayton, some really good football people. So, yeah, I was privileged as a young player that David Parkin was the coach. So, yeah, but look, it seems a lifetime ago. Are the beers still cold there, Richard? It's a very good pub.
It hasn't changed, and it's still really good. Yeah.
Say hello to Guy.
Great to have you on.
Next time you're there. Ta-da.
I will.
Great to have you on, Ross. Always great to pick your brain. Hey, mid-season draft, or trade period, are you happy with that? Are you a fan, mid-season trade?
Yeah, I think it worked okay for the clubs that did it. Look, it's all about opportunity for young men to play the game, so I'm really open. And
sorry, I meant trade next year, club to club, AFL club to AFL club next year.
Yeah, look,
happy with that?
I've had a little bit on the hands, haven't really. I haven't really got my head around it, so I leave that the cobblers to the cobbling. But at the right time, I'll turn my attention to it. Look, don't make the rules when they bring in. You just got to adapt and try and get a competitive advantage for your club. And I haven't even heard Steve Hocking's release today or press conference. I'm not sure what's been put on the table, so I need to catch up a little bit.
Stay listening to Sports Today, Ross. Will play it for you in our podcast later on. It's actually worked for the coaches, the mid-season trade so far this year. Two in, two out,
absolutely.
And it's working. Great to have you, Ross. Always good to be able to have a chat to you expansively. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Lane. Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Jared. Pleasure.